Welcome to Blurred Vision Reviews. I'm Greg.
And I'm Parker. And what is this going to be? Is this going to be closer to a regular review or a Scotch Stories? a Scotch Stories Instant Classic? Or is it something different with our first, as far as I know, F-rated cinema score movie that we reviewed? Mother?
That's a question.
Oh, Mother!
There you go. Mother!
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 I was having a case of the Mondays. On a Friday, I asked Greg and Tony if they'd seen a good movie, they should send it my way, and they made me laugh. They seemed to read my mind. I thought, hey, these reviews, they're a pretty good time. Well, it's better than having the blues. It's better than having dog shit on my brand new pair of shoes. And it's better than watching my grandfather while he watches the news. It's Blurred Vision Review.
We spend all our time here. I want to make a paradise.
She redid all of it.
Every last detail.
And she breathed life back into every room.
Are you happy?
I love you.
All right, Parker. How you doing, man? It's been a while. We've been.
It has been a while, man. I totaled my car. And,
Jesus.
I literally today just got the financial part of that finally figured out.
Oh, good.
My insurance company was a complete piece of shit. I needed to sit there and get bargain with them for weeks on end in order to get the actual market value of my car. And I was still shorted a little bit, but you know, it is what it is. I didn't have to pay anything extra to get my car worked out, so I'm satisfied.
So now you will no longer have to rollerblade to work anymore?
Next week, Claire's going to get a car, I think, and then I'm going to take her car. And yeah, I'm going to continue to take the bus. I found
you told me you were rollerblading.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I was. It's tough because it's uphill on the way there, but then easy on the way home.
There you go.
And it's all the way downhill on rollerblades, just 15 miles.
That's hot.
So, no, I'm gonna continue to take the bus, but, I'll have a car again. It'll be nice because not having a car is kind of lame.
Yeah, we gotta get some Scotch Stories.
We haven't been able to do them because I don't have any way to get anywhere.
Yeah,
because I'm apparently in high school again, which is pretty much what this is.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah. How about you? What have you been up to? What have you been getting into?
Oh man. Well, fell off the map. Went up to Duluth for our alumni college rugby match.
Oh, nice.
Got super drunk and then got really sick after. So,
dude,
perfect.
It's a tale as old as time. Yep. Do you still have your ACLs or did you leave one of those in Duluth?
I got all of them. I got all my ACLs.
Okay, that's good.
I survived.
Yeah, if I went out and played rugby, I'd for sure come back without at least one ACL. So, or an Achilles, you know, I'm not going to discount the possibility of popping one of those.
We're getting up into that age where the Achilles start going.
Oh yeah, I've got multiple friends who have popped their Achilles at this point just playing basketball, which is why I insist that I will never play basketball.
Exactly, just one more reason.
Yeah. All right.
Let's do this. Let's get into this. So we're going to talk about the I don't even know how to describe this. The much debated, maybe?
Much debated, much derided by audiences, as you mentioned, the F cinema score.
Yes, it's Darren Aronofsky's Mother. If you're not familiar with Darren Aronofsky, he's done quite a bit of stuff that I think almost everyone knows. Let me just pull it up here real quick.
He's got a very strange track record.
Yes.
So, I'll just go off the top of my head. Pi.
Yep.
Pi is very good. I never need to see Pi again.
I've never seen it. But
okay. Pi is his first movie made on an absolute shoestring budget. it's really well executed and deals with a lot of pretty weighty topics, I would say. And it's really powerful and really difficult to watch. That's his first one. His second movie, I think, is Requiem for a Dream.
Correct, 2000.
Yeah, and you know that's like masterpiece level type stuff, I think, personally.
I've only seen about half of it. I need to finish it.
Yeah, you should watch that. Then he goes off the deep end. I mean, I saw Tree of Life, or is it Tree of Life?
Yeah, Tree of Life is.
Tree of Life is fucking insane.
Nuts is nuts, yeah.
Like, and Tree of Life's not very good, but I heard that basically during the middle of production, he had his lead actor, Brad Pitt.
Now you're talking about different director now, right?
No, I'm talking about Aronofsky.
No, Aronofsky did The Fountain.
The Fountain! Okay.
Which is a similar idea as...
Yes, The Fountain. That's the movie that I'm thinking about. That's fucking absolutely goddamned insane.
That's with Hugh Jackman.
And not very good.
Hugh Jackman, isn't it?
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. So, no, Brad Pitt was originally scheduled to be in The Fountain. And their budget was about double what it was. In the middle of production or immediately prior to production, Brad Pitt backed out and they cut his budget in half.
Oh, perfect.
So... I can understand why maybe that movie wasn't as well executed. But then after that, what I think he probably did The Wrestler.
That's correct. 2008, The Wrestler with
Mickey Rourke, which is really well received. And that's probably honestly his most like straightforward movie.
It's for sure his most mainstream movie.
It's his most mainstream and like... I'm not going to say it's not like a complex. There's complexities in the movie, whatever. It's like an anti-hero.
It's like
but it's a pretty straightforward story arc.
It's not like a psychological thriller or watching
just
a character
weird
completely...
artistic exposition.
Yeah. Yep.
Then Black Swan.
Correct. 2010, Black Swan.
Which, I mean, Black Swan was well regarded. I thought it was kind of campy, you know, campy fun.
Yeah,
I
like it.
Good time, but it was... I liked it. I liked the music. And after that, it was Noah, right?
Then it was Yinzer's.
Yinzer's all-time worst movie, Noah,
yes.
Which I've not seen. You know, if it's as bad as Yinzer says it is, I'd certainly like to see it, I guess. But
you should check it out. It's not as bad as he says.
Okay. And then we're on to Mother.
Opinion.
Hey,
and then Mother.
I feel pretty good about this. Legitimately, I know nobody can actually test me. I did that off the top of my head.
You did, so. And that was you just nailed his entire filmography. Apparently, his next upcoming project is an untitled artificial intelligence courtroom project.
Huh.
It's gonna be fucking weird. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Aronofsky can make courtrooms a fucking disaster zone if anyone can do it.
Yeah, man. So went over the brief description of his career and kind of what he's done.
He's a very visually driven, very out there type of guy with his ideas, and
he's got a lot of a religious influence on his work, like especially Christian type influence. I mean, obviously he did Noah,
right?
But which. You know, I don't really need to explain. But in The Fountain, in Pi, in Requiem for a Dream, those are all heavy with, like, religious symbolism and, like, specifically, like, in the Christian and Jewish tradition, kind of the mythos of Christianity and Judaism. So he weaves those ideas into a lot of his work.
Well, I can't wait for that courtroom drama then.
Yes, a courtroom. Yeah.
So here we have Mother. We got Jennifer Lawrence playing Mother. She doesn't have a name. Javier Bardem playing him. Ed Harris playing man. And Michelle Pfeiffer playing woman.
Michelle Pfeiffer still got it.
Looking good. Other than she's had, there's some work getting done on those lips, and there's some weird plastic surgery, like droopy lip when she was drinking out of
a little
cup.
Bit, yeah.
Like can't control my lip, and it's just falling over onto my glass.
Yeah, I a little bit, but I still think she's got it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So those are the main kind of the mainstays in the movie. We're going to try to be as general as possible and not really give away too much about
this. Yeah, this movie really benefits from not... Both Greg and I went into the movie not really knowing anything. Oh, I guess I can't speak for Greg. I'll speak for myself. I didn't know anything except for that people hated it.
Same here.
That was it. You know, the F score on cinema scores, which is pretty much a measure of how much an audience likes something. Only 19 Fs ever. Some pretty great names in that list, but that's really all I knew. And Aronofsky said afterwards, "Good, I'm glad I got it. I don't want legitimately." He's like, "Oh, this is great. I wanted an F score because I want to challenge people." It's like, dude, you didn't want an F score.
Who knows?
Nobody wants
weird.
An F score on their movie.
Yeah, it got more publicity, didn't it?
He did. I mean, you get a D on it, nobody gives a shit. But exactly. You get an F and you're in... well, let's see. I have the list up here somewhere of F cinema scores. Let's see. Alone in the Dark, which is a U-Bowl. U-Bowl was probably the worst director of all time. Making a video game movie. And then The Box. I never saw The Box, but it was done by the guy who made Johnny Darko.
Donnie Darko.
Or is
Johnny Darko the knockoff?
Yes, Johnny Darko is the only one I've seen. So, and it was terrible. and then Bug, which was another movie. I don't know. I haven't seen most of
these. Just a
things.
Bunch of bad movies, apparently.
It's just a bunch of bad movies. Noticeable ones, though, that I have seen and that I can comment on. Wolf Creek, yeah. Wolf Creek. Did you see Wolf Creek?
Nope.
Wolf Creek is fucked up. It's horrifically, outrageously violent and disturbing.
Sounds like it's right up your alley.
No, it's that it came out in like the mid 2000s when Saw,
Hostel.
Saw and Hostel. So all of these like torture porn. It's a torture porn movie. That's probably more extreme on the psychological part of it than any of those other movies, and then Wicker Man, which Wicker Man needs to be a Scotch Stories at some point.
Yeah, we do need to do that.
Wicker Man's an all-time great bad movie. Yeah.
Cool. Let's just kind of get into this. I'll read the synopsis for Mother. We don't need to beat around the bush any longer with other bad movies, and we can jump into this movie. So the basic premise of this movie is a couple's relationship is tested when uninvited guests arrive at their home, disrupting their tranquil existence. So I think that's a pretty good way to give people a general idea of what this movie is without really getting into it.
Yeah. I mean, you watch the trailer to this movie. Like, I had a friend at work that I was talking to, and like I told him I saw the movie, and he's like, "Oh, is it scary?" I'm like, "No, not really." And he's like, "Why do you think it'd be scary?"
Yeah, I could see kind of. I mean, the trailers, they try to make it look like a bunch of jump scares and like a horror movie.
And that's what he thought it was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I like he asked like, "Well, what is it about then?" And I'm just like,
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I have an idea, but like, I can't really describe it to you.
Right. I guess basically, so the movie, there's this movie, like a lot of his movies, there is reality and then there's dreams, there's trances, there's like all these different types of perspectives that you have to kind of sift through to figure out what's real, what's not real. And the movie instantly opens up with one of those where it's a woman on fire and a whole completely burnt house, and then somebody putting a rock somewhere, and then everything, the house comes back to life, and then it's Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem in love.
Yeah.
And so it throws you off right away. Like, I was not expecting that opening scene to be like that. I thought, you know, just based on it looked like it was going to be a psychological thriller of, you know, who are these people in their house? What's going on?
Yeah, I know.
Something else going on here, you know.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Or You're Next or something. But no, it's nothing. Nothing even remotely like that. And really, it's not like anything else I've ever seen. I mean, the only thing that I would say, if you've seen some of the more bizarre, like David Lynch stuff,
mm-hmm.
like Mulholland Drive, I could see a little bit of Mulholland Drive in here, or like Eraserhead type stuff.
Yeah, I guess apparently he said Rosemary's Baby was part of his inspiration as well.
Okay.
Which I could
see. Yeah,
that
makes sense.
Basically, we have Javier Bardem is a writer, and he's currently got writer's block. Jennifer Lawrence is basically fixing up the house, making everything good, and then you can tell that there's some tension between Javier and Jennifer Lawrence, that they're in a weird rut in their relationship where things just aren't clicking. And then that's when we get the uninvited guest, which is Ed Harris, who plays a doctor who's the new doctor of the town. And he thought they were a bed and breakfast, so he's looking for a place to stay. And that's kind of when things start getting more and more eerie and more awkward and more unnerving as each minute goes on, I guess, right? Isn't that a good way? I just felt...
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. The more.
Yes, there was a lot of discomfort. And honestly, as we're sitting here, like talking about it, there's more and more things that I noticed in the movie that are making me appreciate it even more. There's not that many movies where you leave and it sticks with you and you're going over the entire movie in your head immediately afterwards.
Right. Trying to figure out, like, okay, what was that supposed to be?
But, like, legitimately, just as we're sitting here talking, I'm like, oh, that's what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And maybe in the spoiler part of it, we can bring up some of those things. But
yeah. Yeah, it's very. There's a lot of layers to this movie. It's one I think I'm gonna have to rewatch it again at some point to really to see everything again, not as just experiencing it and just getting mind fucked for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of the movie, a lot of the experience is just sitting there being fucking.
Like
the entire movie,
mouth open, eyes wide open, like what. The fuck?
What is going on? I mean, a lot of the movie flows like we talked about this a little bit, like a dream.
Yes. Yep.
Like in dreams, unusual things will happen, and they'll happen like too fast for you to like. I know it's kind of a weird thing to try to describe, but you know, you're in a dream and things are happening, and they just feel slightly off, but you're just kind of going with them, even though they're happening too fast.
Right.
This movie feels like that and feels as much like a dream as anything that I've ever seen.
You're in a dream. You're at a deli. You're trying to buy food. You can't find your money. You keep searching your pocket. And then all of a sudden you're in a baseball field and you're playing baseball and it makes complete sense to you at the time. You're just like, well, okay, I guess I'm playing baseball now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked too how we are seeing all this stuff through Jennifer Lawrence's eyes. Because the whole movie, she's basically, the whole movie, this is what you need to know about the movie. The whole movie is her walking around the house saying, what are you doing? Get out of my house. And her being surprised by what the fuck's going on like the whole time. And that's how I felt too. It was just, what are these people doing? What the hell? What are they fucking doing this for real? Like, oh my God, this would piss me off so much if somebody just walked into my house and started doing this.
Yeah, and like you legitimately don't know like what is going on or where these people are coming from. Yeah. It's so strange.
And it really, like, it, there was points where it started bugging me. It was like, put that down. Like, don't touch. That's not your stuff. I was like, God damn it. It started getting to me pretty good, dude.
Oh, man. Maybe we should just break into spoilers or something. Give a spoiler.
In a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
Be strong, Parker.
I'm doing it. It's so hard to not talk about. Okay.
It's hard to know, you know, when you're watching it at the time, what's real, what's not real. Jennifer Lawrence, she has like headaches and stuff, and so she might be seeing stuff. She's finding weird stuff in the house. So it plays a lot into the psychological aspect of keeping you on your toes. And then it just really fucking ramps up. Like the last, I don't even know what, last 30, 45 minutes.
30 to 45 minutes,
It just goes bonkers. I mean, it was, for the first maybe, the first act, I had no fucking clue what was going on at all in this movie. Couldn't figure out a single goddamn thing. And then as we kept going, I was fairly certain, but also I could have just, you know, I was like, I think it's this, but I could be way off. I have no fucking clue really what's going on in this movie.
Oh, I had several guesses of what was going on.
Yeah.
And they like at some point I figured it out. But it wasn't till about probably an hour into the movie.
And you're not even really sure if that's what he's going for.
No, and I still didn't even figure it all the way out, but I figured I'm being so opaque. But yeah, man.
What'd you think of the performances here? Jennifer
Lawrence. I thought every performance was elite. Like, legitimately, I thought everyone did a great job.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we see this is the first thing, at least with Jennifer Lawrence in it, where she's not playing a super confident independent woman. Like, you know, Hunger Games, all that stuff. She just naturally has a confidence about her that she knows what she's doing. And in this movie, the whole time, she's basically a coward. Like, she can't stand up for herself the entire movie. And it was interesting to see her play that kind of role because it was less of her dialogue and more of just how she reacted to things.
Yeah.
And Javier Bardem was, I thought, fucking perfect. He was
Javier Bardem
scary
and
super nice, like in one sentence. He could scare the shit out of you and then like hug you and like, don't worry about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. He's an incredible actor. I mean, he's played some of my favorite roles of all time in any movies.
The Last Pirates.
No Country for Old Men.
Last Pirates of the Caribbean. That was your favorite movie.
I didn't see that one. If you don't. I was not in on the review for that one. I did listen to it, though, and I heard it's not great.
You're not a real Javier Bardem fan, then.
Hey, you know what? If Javier Bardem's got to, you know, go star and shit like that to pay the bills and then come do interesting stuff on the side to, you know, artistically express himself, I'm cool with it.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add about...
I mean, the direction, you know, the direction and the set of the house and the way I mean, it's just hard to talk about it without like kind of spoiling. So, I mean, the performances were great. Like, and it's a movie that, you know, there's like mystery movies that play out where it's like, you know, you're thinking like, oh, who's the killer? That type of stupid bullshit. Like, this is an actual mystery movie because you're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, you have no.
And I think that is the way to make a mystery movie. That's why I liked Mulholland Drive a lot too.
When you're just trying to figure out David like Lynch. What is this entire thing all about? Like, who is this?
Yeah, man, that is what a mystery movie is. It's not some bullshit. Like, I saw this trailer for a movie that looked like such bullshit before Mother. for something called the Snowman Killer or something.
Yeah.
God, that looked fucking bad.
It does. It looks chillingly bad.
I mean, that looks like a, you know, whodunit type of a thing.
We've got to stop him killing.
This is a natural, like
suspense movie,
mystery movie.
Yeah. Just the mystery. The mystery is suspenseful. Like you're uncomfortable because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, man. I like being challenged very occasionally.
Yes, and I guess let's give our ratings here now, and then after that, we'll
and then
get
maybe
into
talk a little bit about some of the
spoiler
yeah
territory.
That's fine.
Okay, you want to go first?
Sure.
Go for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the type of movie that I left the theater not thinking about. Not knowing kind of where I was at on it, but I've been thinking about it like nonstop, and I was actually dreaming about it last night.
Oh, wow. This is this a first on for Blurred Vision Reviews?
I was dreaming about the movie last night, and I was waking up today, and even as we've been talking about it, I've been thinking about more things that I noticed in the movie that were appealing. Or that like more connections that I saw in the movie and like started to try to piece together. I mean, there's not that many movies that have done that for me. I mean, this year, I guess a movie that I left the theater and thought about it more. It Comes at Night, which, you know.
Yep, that one really that like stuck with me for like a week.
Yeah,
and
it
half.
Stuck with me, and it also and there were some similar type themes in that movie as well. But I would, I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Whoa. Nice. So
I think if you're into cinema, this is, I'm not going to lie. It's very into itself.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's extremely, you know, pompous type shit,
well,
but
that
it's
to
incredible
the,
man
to the you know to show that even more is that Aronofsky and Jennifer Lawrence started dating during this movie, so this is just a very into itself movie. It's very it loves it some it.
All right, so there's a little Freudian shit going on in this movie then too. People
right.
Wanting to fuck their mothers.
Yeah. isn't it your mom's birthday today, Parker?
It is. Happy birthday, Mom.
Man, on that note.
Yes, on that note.
So I just saw this today, and so I'm processing it quite a bit. It's a roller coaster of a movie. It's, you have no clue what the fuck's going on. Then you think you have an idea, and then something happens, and then you have no clue again. And then 30 minutes later, you think about something else, and then you're like, wait, maybe it's this. But I liked, I thought the performances were really good. It was a really intense movie and super uncomfortable movie. I don't think I was like squirming. I was the only person, actually, there's two people, there's another guy in my screening with this. And he left after about 20 minutes, like probably like a 55-year-old dude.
Minutes?
Yeah, he just got
shit.
Up and left. You sat through 20 minutes of previews. But he got up and left. But I was like itchy and I was just squirmy in my chair, and for a good reason. It was just it's probably one of the most challenging movies I've seen lately, where you really have to think about it and.
Yeah,
and be open. I think that's kind of the biggest thing is keep you just not think that you have it figured out. With that being said, yeah, I'm gonna have to watch this again, but I did enjoy it quite a bit. I'm giving it an 8, and I think it's worth seeing. You should go see it in theaters if you can. Most people won't be able to, but it's worth seeing. It's my main advice, going with an open mind. Don't read in anything into it. Just be open.
Yeah.
Take it in
also,
as it comes.
The other thing, some of you are going.
Oh, you're a robot right now.
Oh, I am here. Better.
Nope, still a robot. So hold on a second. yeah, if you're a Transformers fan, don't go see this movie. Do not go see this movie. No. You're going to fucking hate it.
If you're a Transformers fan, just watch Transformers again.
Yep, just put them on a loop. Put it on again.
Put them on a loop and, you know, plug a big... Oh.
Yep. Yeah, you're going to plug a dildo in?
I was
going
to say, just plug a big, tub of liquefied butter directly into your vein and slowly die.
Wow. And that's Parker's health corner.
Yes, that's my health recommendations if you're a Transformers fan.
Yeah, perfect. All right, so...
Slowly die and get fat.
I like how we can always work that into a review. Advice for a Transformers fan.
Yeah. yeah.
All right, let's do a quick... five, 10 minutes of spoilery stuff, so... If you don't want to watch the movie or you don't care enough, stick around, listen to what we have to say.
Or you don't like mysteries and want to be...
you want it ruined for you.
Basically informed before you go in the movie kind of what you're watching.
Right.
If you're
going to go see the movie and you don't want it to be spoiled, stop listening. We're going to give you...
Yes.
From the count of 3, 2, 1, stop listening. Spoiler! Spoiler!
Spoiler!
Spoiler!
Spoiler!
All right, you think they're still listening?
All right, so this movie is basically an analogy for, it's a history of life in the Christian Bible and humanity and its interactions with planet Earth.
Boom. It's God and the Big Bang.
And the Big Bang, and early on, God and Earth are getting well enough along, and then Adam and Eve come along.
Yep, the uninvited guests.
You know, while we were talking about it earlier, you know, a thing that I noticed. Remember when Ed Harris, who's playing Adam, was puking in the toilet?
Yeah.
And you look down at his back briefly, and then Javier Bardem's hand goes to cover it up.
Yeah.
That's because he had taken the rib out of him to make Eve.
Oh, shit.
And I was just thinking about that on the phone.
Shit, son!
I was wondering why all of that was going on.
You're going robotic again.
Oh, sorry.
Do you have there you go. Now you're good.
Okay. Dude, that was... legitimately, I was thinking about all of that as we were talking about it earlier. So, this movie is still coming to me. Pieces of it,
yeah, really,
unfolding, and
We even have a special guest appearance by Cain and Abel, the two lovable brothers. They are actually. It's what the hell is the guy's name? Domhnall Gleeson or whatever, the guy from.
Dom Hall Gleason, who's been in
everything
lately, Star Wars,
Ex Machina,
an episode of Black Mirror.
That was him and his actual brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Oh, did not know that.
A little factoid for you there.
Yeah, that was the part where I figured out a little bit of what was going on. Because I was like, oh, especially when he dropped the line, he's gone now, he's in the wilderness. I was like, oh, that's the Bible.
Yep, that's what. Yeah, that's when it started to turn for me too. Where I was just like, wait a second. And that's when right after that, I pieced it together that the crystal thing was the forbidden
the
fruit. Yeah, and that's what kids, I was like. Okay, that makes sense now.
I was just thinking about all that stuff now, like how he sealed up the room.
Yes.
Because that room was the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
And he just sealed it up immediately afterwards and made sure no one would ever go in there again.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, dude.
This is
trippy
deep.
Fucking movie.
It is.
And,
it really is. And there's one of the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen. Well, one of the most, well, you know, that last like 30 minutes is pretty fucking disturbing, but
the whole thing is extremely disturbing at the end.
We get a baby that gets ripped apart.
Do you like how God's PR agent is just basically a complete shithead? Yeah. Played by Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, special appearance, Kristen Wiig. That was great.
Dude, that's quite the cast in this movie. And she did a great job. Yeah,
the publicist.
In her limited role as the publicist for God.
Yeah, and she was fucked up too. It was like all of a sudden she's shooting people. He's like, what?
Shooting people in the name of God.
What is going on here?
Yeah, and yeah, then there's the obviously horrific scene involving the
baby.
God sacrificing his son.
Yep.
Jesus, and people actually eating the baby.
Yes.
You know?
Yep. And then
eat his flesh, drink his blood for forgiveness.
Yep. And then another disturbing scene is when Jennifer Lawrence is getting the shit kicked out of her.
Is getting the what?
The shit kicked out of her.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That
and
was
the guys are
up.
All yelling like slut and shit at her while they're doing it.
Yeah. It was it's fucking weird. This whole movie was just so disturbing. Like, when people, she'd walk up to somebody like, what are you doing in my house? You have to get out of here. And the guy would just be like, fucking your house, you fucking bitch. And then, like, walk away. Like, what the hell is going on here? So fucking bizarre. So it was a big, bold mind fuck, basically.
Yeah, man, but totally recommended. You know, that's a little bit of it. You know, shoot us your thoughts.
Shoot us your pictures of stuff.
Yeah, pictures. You know, we're happy to talk about it. If you've got personal issues,
slide
right into my DMs. They're always open.
Send us pictures of your house. Huh?
Yeah.
Maybe that's our new thing. Send us your address.
Send pictures of your house. Tell us that you're God.
Yep. Let us know when you're on vacation.
And let us eat your child for forgiveness.
Well, I'll let you do that one, Parker.
Okay. I'll sacrifice more for the podcast.
Yes, that's right. The listeners can't see this right now, but you have a pair of headphones basically mounted on front of your face. You look like an idiot that doesn't know how to rub his own dick.
Good thing I sound like an idiot too, right?
Well, if ipso facto. Is that a thing?
I don't know what it means.
Yeah, it's like SpaghettiOs, right? It's just like a cool thing people say. All right, dude. Well, I don't even want to do the website stuff. It's too late now.
It's too late, and everyone has stopped listening.
Yep, it's just me and you.
If you didn't, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening this long.
Yep. You can go to the website and just enter in the promo code, We Like Magnets. See what you get.
Yeah. And send them to us.
Yeah. Yes, please. In the mail, preferably.
Yep.
Send it. Just mail us your magnets. That's all we got. Okay, Parker, I'm going to go.
okay.
I'm going to go touch my giblets now for a little bit.
Yep. Giblet time.
Oh, yeah. It's Wednesday. Jibble, jibble, jibble.
Yeah.
Why are you so glum over there, buddy?
Oh, I'm not. I'm just thinking about this movie and how gross.
Yeah. Well, just touch your giblets, you'll feel better.
Alrighty.
All right. Peace out, dude.
Peace out.